Welcome into this special edition of On Texas Football. My name is Jerry Hamilton, joined by C.J. Vogel. C.J. just got back from the player availability today following Thursday's practice ahead of Saturday's scrimmage. Today, Sarkisian didn't meet with the media. He sent three players out to meet with the media. Very interesting, C.J. I want to get your opinions on who they were and why they were. But we're going to start with kind of give the list. We're going to go Anthony Hill, C.J. Baxter, and then Kelvin Banks. So your initial takeaway, CJ, I think some people thought it'd be older players. He trotted out two members of the 2023 recruiting class that were, you know, five-star prospects and are going to be sophomores that were freshman starters at Texas. Kind of what were your initial thoughts?
Yeah, it was a bit surprising because I think coming into it, I think most media members were expecting, you know, a Jahdae Barron coming out, maybe a Jake Majors or a Gunnar Helm, even if, you know, just some of those guys who have been around the program for quite a while now. Obviously, last week we saw David Benda and Quinney was kind of being the first two guys on either side of the ball for the media to kind of pick apart and see kind of how spring ball was going, what they're excited about with this team and et cetera. But yeah, it really exciting. It was almost in a way Sarkisian was parading his three five-star guys on the team right now, but also to give them the trust of the Texas football program to go out there and talk with the local media. Kind of gives you an idea of how, you know, well-regarded they are with the staff and what kind of leadership positions they hold with this team right now, which to me isn't very uncommon with those three guys. It's been kind of in their characteristics going back to high school, even really early days of high school with Kelvin Banks, Anthony Hill Jr., and obviously C.J. Baxter.
Yeah, my takeaway is it says a lot about what this staff believes, how much they believe in Anthony Hill and Cedric Baxter. That's a lot. I mean, obviously they got both those guys were starters last year at various points in time. But, you know, Cedric Baxter's his maturity has never been in question. Even when I went back to see him at Edgewater High School, he was a leader in high school. Even when he had a little slight hamstring injury, he was in the middle of his huddle for a two-hour practice every single play, leading, being part of it, engaged. So it's kind of a continuation with guys like Anthony Hill and C.J. Baxter from what we saw in high school, those guys. Obviously, Kelvin Banks, a year older in the program, and a guy that's going to be on various All-American preseason lists. All right, CJ, let's get into it real quick. Let's start with Anthony Hill. Anthony Hill, he mentioned Colin Simmons. He mentioned Ty Anthony Smith. What were kind of your takeaways, and what did Anthony Hill say that kind of impressed you or caught your attention?
Yeah, I mean, moving to the interior was something that was asked a lot about Anthony Hill. Does he feel comfortable? Is that something that he feels like can fit his scheme and the way that he plays football? Off the bat, Anthony Hill's like, yeah, I mean, I'm a football player. I like where I'm at. I feel like I'm confident in my ability to go out there and make plays. And at the moment, with the way spring football has kind of been treating me, eight practices in, I like it. You know, he's kind of in the middle of that Texas defense at the moment. It allows him to be used in a little bit different ways, obviously, than what we saw him a year ago coming off the edge, kind of being moved around as an off-ball outside backer at the time. But to this point, I think he really understands, you know, kind of the scheme in which he's being a part of at the moment. And as, you know, the practices continue, he says he's feeling more and more comfortable in this Texas defensive scheme at the moment. So really interesting there. And I think a big part of that was what he was able to pick up from Jalen Ford a year ago. And that was something he talked about as well, you know, just kind of sitting there and being able to pick his brain a little bit. This is kind of a recurring theme that we'll have throughout this player availability is the 23 leaders kind of passing down that knowledge and kind of tidbits that they picked up to the younger guys. We'll see that a little bit more as we continue. But just being able to move into the middle and do it comfortably is something that was the big takeaway for me with Anthony Hill.
And you know what? If he couldn't find Jalen Ford and he won't be able to find them now, Derek Johnson's right somewhere down the hall or a phone call away. So great spot to be for Anthony Hill. So two players that Anthony spoke specifically on, Colin Simmons and Ty Anthony Smith. What did he have to say about both of those guys?
Yeah, we'll start with Colin Simmons, obviously the five-star out of Duncanville. One of the most, you know, anticipated recruits Texas has had in a while, specifically at the edge position. Anthony, I mean, basically said he's an elite talent. I can't wait to see what he can do with the Longhorn on his chest. And even throughout the phrase, three and done, because that's kind of the trajectory that most expect for Colin Simmons and for Anthony Hill, who's gotten to watch him 8 practices now and knows obviously about him from his time at Duncanville. I mean, it's clear to me that there's a lot of confidence in the ability of Colin Simmons, and it's really just a matter of time before the leash is peeled off of him, and you can really let him, you know, kind of reign free on opposing defenses. With Ty Anthony Smith, I thought this was an interesting one because, again, Texas got in there late. They were a late flip of Ty Anthony Smith right around signing day to get him into this class. Anthony Hill even said, you know, that was my dog, basically. I hosted him for the official visit whenever he came and visited Texas in the summer. I know about him. I'm familiar with him. There's going to be a little bit of development in his game. But at this point in his game, Anthony Hill said that Ty Anthony was a smarter football player than him coming into practice number 8 of spring practice. I think that's very important because kind of at this moment, the knowledge of the game is going to precede the physical attributes Ty Anthony Smith brings to the field. That will catch up. But if you can have that knowledge in the middle of the field, you're going to be leg ahead of wherever you should be in terms of your experience on campus.
I'm glad that Anthony brought up Ty Anthony, because it's just so happened I was at Belleville High on Tuesday, and Belleville played Jasper in the playoffs last year. I've been wondering how I was going to mix this into a conversation, right? But Grady Rowe, the head coach at Belleville, I asked him, I said, who was somebody you went up against this year that you really impressed you? And he thought about it. We went through a couple of guys. He said, you know, Ty Anthony Smith at Jasper. He said, going into the game, I thought he was good. He said, I thought he might even be a little overhyped. But he said, once the game started and once we got out there, he said he was better than we thought he was going to be. He was physical. He was a smart player. Goes to what Anthony was saying. Couldn't really trick him. But he said he's physical. He was a physical player for how maybe slight a build he was for a linebacker in high school. And then he had such length to him. So he was physical with his long levers and with his hands. So just a takeaway there, Ty Anthony Smith needs a little time to fill out that frame. But there's a reason Texas recruited Ty Anthony Smith through the whistle. They only did that with linebackers in last year's class, Justin Williams at Georgia and Ty Anthony Smith. That tells you a lot about what Steve Sarkisian, Kwiatkowski, Jeff Choate, that defensive staff, what they truly thought about Ty Anthony Smith. So that kind of falls in line with what we heard from Anthony Hill today. So that's great stuff, CJ. All right, next up, CJ to CJ. I call him Cedric Baxter, but let's call him CJ Baxter. I'm very familiar with him from Orlando, so anything you tell me is not going to surprise me. But I don't know how much time he's really spent in front of the media. What were your takeaways from CJ Baxter before we get into some specific players he talked about?
Yeah, I think I lost the title of coolest CJ in Austin about a year ago when he won that job out of fall camp. But it was good to kind of sit back and hear from CJ Baxter a little bit today. You know, he's not a guy that you see in front of the media very often. In fact, I would expect him to become one of those guys that you see, you know, almost every week moving forward in the fall. But I mean, very well spoken, very humble, very much has his head on his shoulders and understands the speed of the college game and what your trajectory and path should look like. The biggest thing for me, and I think last year we kind of didn't see CJ Baxter at 100%. You know, obviously he got dinged up early on, never really recovered to the extent that you had hoped him to have. Kind of those lingering issues kind of just came up and bit him at times a year ago. He talked about how important it is to have, you know, a stable of running backs and how comfortable he is with, you know, Jaden Blue, Trey Wisner, and the rest of that group in that running back room. Essentially, yeah, I need those guys as well. I cannot have the wear and tear in my body that you see with some of these running backs across the country getting 30 to 35 carries a game. That's not who I want to be, and that's not good for me.
These guys want to make the NFL.
Yeah.
Whatever is going to help them get to the NFL is what they want. And to your point, CJ, and to his point, 35 carries a game, those days are over for the majority of guys. That, again, shows his maturity.
That's absolutely the case, too, because, again, this is a 5-star running back coming in as a true freshman who got very early playing time. And it's easy to say, yeah, in year 2, this is going to be my job. That wasn't necessarily – you know, the mindset for him. He's like, I need everybody else in this room to go out and eat. You know, I've been a part of multiple back classes and position groups in his high school days, dating back to when he was at Edgewater. Because again, you know, there's talented players everywhere, and it's just going to help him. Right now, he had great praise for CJ Baxter. You know, the way that he's running the ball, or sorry, he has great praise for the way Jaden Blue is running the football at the moment. Basically, went out and said, what he's doing right now and the way that I'm running at the moment in the spring ball, we're really going to start clicking in the fall whenever we're on the field facing somebody for real game live experience. So it really exciting times for the two of them, but for Cedric Baxter to really understand that concept of needing guys around him in the backfield, really, really smart, really ahead for his age.
138 carries for 659 yards, 5 touchdowns, 24 catches, 156 as a freshman. I'm going to throw out a prediction here right now. He's healthy. He will top 1,000 yards next year rushing. So I'm going to throw a prediction out because people love him and they love to come back and tell you whether you're wrong or right. But CJ Baxter spoke on to Shard Choice. And obviously, anybody that follows recruitment knows that is why CJ Baxter is in Austin when he grew up an FSU fan. So kind of expand on what CJ had to say about Tashard today.
Man, I mean, the praise that he had for Tashard Choice was – rather astounding. You know, basically, he didn't necessarily call him a blood relative, but he said, if no one in my family is able to talk to me about something, I can go straight to Coach Choice and get whatever advice, whatever help, whatever is necessary at the time that I'm seeking from him. He's going to drop everything, pick up the phone, and shoot it to me straight. And that's essentially what got him to pick up things from Florida and move all the way out to Texas. And I think that relationship with Coach Choice is what's been echoed with guys like Roshan Johnson and Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Brooks last year as well. Very highly regarded of, you know, Tashard Choice and the work that he did with them while on campus. And that's no different than what we heard today from CJ Baxter.
And to add to that, the only way Jarrett Gibson's in Austin is if Jarrett Gibson has the questions answered about Tashard Choice from CJ Baxter.
Yes.
And the only way that happens when Florida was trying to flip him, like FSU was trying to flip Baxter, is if CJ Baxter tells Jarrett Gibson, everything this guy has told me has been true, and everything that he was in our recruitment is real, is genuine. That's the only way you go into Florida and get the number one ranked back out of that state 2 years in a row. So yeah, that's
an easy thing to do.
Not an easy thing to do. Not many people do it. I mean, maybe Alabama, maybe a Georgia could do it, but the list is very small. And that tells you, again, why Georgia probably tried to hire Tashard Choice a few weeks ago, right?
Yep.
I mean, that goes to it. Everybody just watched that follows recruiting or that's a blue blood program said, whoa, Tashard Choice got Cedric Baxter and Jarrett Gibson back-to-back years out of the Orlando, Florida area. I mean, Gibson's from Gainesville. I mean, was committed to Florida. Baxter at one time was committed to Florida State. Those aren't two recruitments that are easy to win. So more credit there for Tashard Choice and how all this kind of plays into the recruitment of CJ Baxter, ties into the recruitment of Jarrett Gibson, and will tie into future recruitments in the Southeast. All right, CJ, last guy that met with the media, saved the biggest for last, and probably the All-American for last. Not that Anthony Hill or CJ Baxter can't be, but Kelvin Banks is going to be on a number of All-American teams this year, whether it's first or second team left tackle. Kelvin Banks, what were your impressions? Had he met with the media before and you'd been there, first of all? Or was that the first time you'd kind of heard him? And two, what were your takeaways?
Yeah, he's met with the media in the past. So I've seen Kelvin, obviously, you know, prior to today. But again, it just kind of goes to the youth explosion that we're seeing with this group. You know, Kelvin going into year three, maybe not the youngest guy, but when you consider what or who was talking about Texas a year ago, it was all kind of those upper, you know, super senior guys as well. So Kelvin, again, that really, really stood out to me. And he mentioned it having attended the Texas Pro Day a bit was, yeah, I'm going into year three. I've been on the field for 2 years prior to this, but I know now how intricate I have to approach every snap and every rep and drills. And I see that now, having attended the pro day with 90-plus scouts there, three NFL head coaches. Everything that you do, whether it's a drill that you prep for or a drill that you don't, everything is going to be, you know, kind of run through with a fine comb. And so going into year three and kind of having those expectations to being an All-American and a first-round draft pick, you know, he understands that he's going to be his own, you know, worst and harshest critic, because that's how you get better. And that's how you take each day as seriously as you can. So I really appreciated that from Kelvin Banks, because it's not necessarily the approach that you always get from a guy who's been receiving praise for 4 or 5 straight years.
Yeah. So, and again, let's think about this. All three of these guys that Sark brought to the media, this is players where players recruit players. These are guys that are going to be very involved on official visits, visits this weekend, official visits in June, mature guys, guys that weren't all three were 5-stars, but they've bought into the Texas program and they built, they have helped build, continue to build that culture. I know for a fact, there's no way Kelvin Banks got through this media time without being asked about the offensive line and specifically probably about left guard. CJ, what did he have to say?
Hey, as a good leader would, you know, he kind of danced around the question and gave you, you know, the team first answer with Nato Omiozulu and Hayden Connor. What's going on there? Essentially, Kelvin Banks was like, you know what? There's no real drop off between the two of them, which was a very interesting answer. He said the communication amongst the offensive line, regardless of who is in at left guard, is very strong. And I think that stems a lot from Jake Majors and the familiarity there, obviously, with DJ Campbell to his right, and the experience of, you know, Hayden Connor at left guard, or a year three, Nato Omiozulu coming in as well. So really interesting there. Again, there's kind of a question in terms of what, you know, what kind of flipped midway through spring practice so far in terms of getting that running game really going. And he said, you know what? It was on us to kind of look upon each other in the room and say, yeah, we've got to go be the group that we expected to be coming into this year, the group that we know that we could be building off of 2023, and just communicating with each other one more time before the ball is snapped or off to the sideline as well in between series. So the offensive line is clicking at the moment. And according to Kelvin Banks, it doesn't matter who's at left guard at the moment.
Yeah. And so that, Kelvin Banks, again, mature guy, a very physical player, going to be projected to be a first-round pick. Look, we're 3 weeks away now from the NFL draft. 10 Longhorns projected to be drafted right now. CJ, we're going to leave everybody with this. This was Thursday practice this morning. The three players that met with the media, obviously, we've talked about here. That sets up a big visit weekend on Saturday around the scrimmage, which will be first kind of practice slash scrimmage on a Saturday. It'll be a scrimmage, though, for Texas this spring. Again, we're closing in midway point of the spring practices. Spring game April 20th on Texas football will be on hand in Austin. You, me, Robbie Burton, Rod Babers, the whole team. We'll see if Coach Shipley comes down. But again, guys, thank you for joining in today. CJ wanted to give you a rundown.
I got one last thing, Jerry, if I can butt in.
What's up?
I got one last thing I wanted to mention about this group, and it's that internal leadership that we've continued to talk about, kind of trickling down, that began with that Roshan group with Bijan and Jay Witt. I wanted to mention this because it's very interesting to me. We talked to two sophomores today, you know, two guys who just got their feet wet a year ago and now are expected to be a big piece of this team moving forward. CJ Baxter sat back and told us, I learned – tremendously from Jonathan Brooks last year, being able to walk into meetings and learn something new about my game, about the offense, about the opposing defense. Jonathan Brooks was very meticulous, and he passed that down to this running back group now. That's very interesting to me, because Anthony Hill said basically the same thing about Jalen Ford. Well, we asked Kelvin Banks, who are you taking under your wing? Who are you kind of learning from as well? You know, Christian Jones was a big part of your development. He goes, I've got four guys I'm looking after right now. He said Trevor Goosby, who's been his backup left tackle there, Jaden Chapman, Andre Kojo, and the freshman Brandon Baker. So for that to kind of be the continual theme that I've seen so far through all three of these guys today, it goes to show you and – you know, kind of give you the indication that this Texas program is in the right direction and it's player led, which we know is the key to going from a good program to a great program to an elite program. So I wanted to throw that out there because it is very encouraging, again, that Texas is taking that next group of guys and taking them under their wing before the coaches even really necessarily need to get on to them about things.
Great stuff, CJ Vogel. Great stuff. CJV4. Maybe that should be your new Twitter handle.
Yeah, I was always number 3 guy, so I'm going to have to I'm going to have to chop that one down.
All right, for CJ Vogel, I'm Jerry Hamilton. CJ, Rod Babers, Bob Shipley have the winning drive today as well. Texas fans, enjoy a lot of information. CJ and I will be in Austin, obviously, Saturday for the big visit weekend and have got you covered there. So thanks all the Texas fans for joining in. If there's any other SEC fans, keep joining in as well. You'll have a great day.